Father, in the name of Jesus, we set our hearts this day to receive from You. We know that there's never any lack of Your power or lack of Your desire to give to us. And so we receive what You have for us this morning. We believe, Lord, there's going to be a revelation come into our life and we'll never, never, never be the same from this day forward. We believe that things that we don't need are going to fall off this day. We believe that things that we do need will be added to us. And we receive that, Father, for Your goodness and Your mercy through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we're going to receive communion this morning at the end of service. But we're going to prepare our hearts with this word in kind of a different way maybe than we've done it before. And I don't really like doing things just because that's the way we've always done them, you know. I like to do it the way the Lord has for us, and everything that He does is new and fresh. So we're going to talk about receiving from the Lord this morning. And go with me quickly to Luke chapter 5. Put your fingers on Luke chapter 5 and your fingers on John chapter 21. Now, I believe in the short time that I speak this morning, I believe the Lord has something to say to us, and I believe we're going to receive, and I believe our life will be changed this morning. Amen? Amen. So in Luke chapter 5, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed or asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw." Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Go over to John chapter 21. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. And they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael and of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, "I go a fishing." They said unto him, "We go with you." They went forth, entering the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered, "No." And He said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And when Simon heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish's coat about him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it was 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals, and the fishes laid there on the bread. And Jesus said, "Bring the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter drew the net to the land, the great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. This world is blessed because of our God. There's the scripture that says it rains on the just and the unjust. Religious and non-religious people have misunderstood that verse, and they used it for destruction. Well, you know, brother, it rains on the just and the unjust. And in every life, a little rain must fall. And they mean it bad. The Bible always means rain for good. These were farmers, they were writing this about, and they needed rain for their land in season. And so when it says it rains on the just and the unjust, it's not talking about cursing, it's talking about blessing. This earth is blessed because our God is here first and you're here second. All right? So that's the blessing. Now, everyone is blessed. People get blessed by you every day. You are the light of the world. That's what you do. You go out and bless people. People receive increase. People that you don't think ought to get increased, get increased. If you was God, they wouldn't have it. But they still get it. And then some of them take it and some of them devour themselves with it. Some of them even get it by ill-gotten gain. They did it the wrong way. That doesn't make that bad. It makes what they did with it bad. What makes our money, what keeps our wealth from being filthy lucre? It's devoted. It's blessed. The Bible calls the money of the world that filthy lucre. It's because it's made and used by sin. Ours is not. Ours is offered to God and it's blessed. Amen. All right, so in this blessing, I want you to see in two situations here the key to receiving. One time, the net broke. The next time, the net did not break. Get ready, for this is a huge revelation. What was the difference? Why could this first bunch not hardly receive it because the net broke and they had to call all their friends and they had to do everything they did to try to keep it and get it in. But the next time, the net didn't break and they just dragged the thing to land and it was all ready. Same guys. Huh? Same guys. First time, couldn't handle it. Next time, could handle it. Why? First time, they didn't know who Jesus was. Second time, they knew who He was. All right? The blessing is designed for you. You have been blessed. You have used some of it rightly, and you have used some of it wrongly. You have been able to keep some of it, and you've lost some of it. Okay? But the whole key to receiving it and it doing us good is knowing who Jesus is. That was the only difference. Only difference. The first time, they didn't know who He was. The next time, you say, well, at first they didn't. Yeah, but remember that disciple whom Jesus loved? He told them who it was. They knew who it was. And they got to, and it didn't break. Okay? So the blessing, now when I say blessing, I don't know what you're thinking. So you might just be thinking money. You might just be thinking health. You might just be thinking family fixed. You might just be thinking peace. You might be, I don't know what you're thinking, but it's all in the blessing. Okay? And it's all there for you. You might be thinking deliverance from something. You might be thinking, I don't know. But it's all there. It's in the blessing. And it's all receivable. And it's always been there. Some of it you've been able to receive, and some of it your net broke. You're looking so innocent. No, we've all been there. You know, I was telling some guys the other day, I said, you know, you get the ability, on your own ability sometimes, to try to get things done. And you know, a guy told me one time, he said, quitting smoking's easy. I've done it 500 times. You know what he means. You know, losing weight's easy. Done it 500 times, right? What's taking place? If your net breaks, you can't contain it. If your net doesn't break, you get to hang on to it. And what was the difference? Knowing who Jesus is. Well, I know who Jesus is. You have to know who He is in every situation in your life. Right? What that number one question He put toward those disciples when He said, who do men say that I am? They said, well, some of them say John, some of them say you're Isaiah, Jeremiah, some of the one prophet. Then He said, what? Who do you say I am? He can be to you whatever you say He is. Amen? Whatever you say He is, believe that He is, that's what He is. Okay, got some fun stuff for you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11 very quickly. Somebody got a message translation?
can I borrow your... Ooh, I moved so fast the wind caught my microphone. Go ahead. Whoosh. All right, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, 30. King James. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, everybody look up here at me. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Thank you, ma'am. Come unto me, all you that are trying to work your way out of your problems. Come unto me, all you that's trying to do enough good things to make good things happen in your life. To feel like you're worthy of it. Come unto me, all you that are just sure there's one more thing you got to do before you can receive your healing. Come unto me, just all of you that just feel like just one more thing you got to do to be worthy of His grace. Just come to me, He said. There's not anything else you have to do. That's who He wants. He's not talking about, come unto me, all that labor, that work from 9 to 5, and you're tired when you get home. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about when you're trying to do it your own way. You're trying to do it by religion. Yeah, you quit whatever 40 times, and you've still gone back to it because you just didn't have the power to overcome it. And then you hide it so you don't want anybody to know that you know. I know, there are none of those people here, but you know who they are. That's what He's saying. Look in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, y'all know my story. I've told you many times, but I'll tell you again. I grew up truly believing that it was wrong for me to want anything because the Lord was my shepherd. That was sin. I shouldn't want for anything. Everybody else has it. I should not want for that because the Lord's my shepherd. See, I thought that's what it meant. And nobody told me any different, and I didn't know any different. I thought if there was something I wanted, I was sinful for wanting it. But if that's all you know, that's all you know. I didn't know that it meant the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. Why? Because He's the shepherd. He takes care of that. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for He is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That can be nowhere but on this earth. That cannot be heaven because you don't have any enemies in heaven. It has to be nowhere but right here. What are those enemies? They're not flesh and blood. Because the Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood. What are those enemies? Fear, doubt, confusion, lack, inability, everything else that you can think of that's not right. Those are your enemies. And He said, He prepared a table before us in the presence of those things. Right in the midst of those things, there's been a table prepared for you to receive
your answer out of that problem that you have, out of that whatever it is, out of that fear, that doubt, that unbelief, that addiction, that whatever it is. The table has been prepared already. There's nothing else you have to do. You don't have to help him prepare the table. You don't have to go to the store and get the stuff. Right? You don't have. He has prepared it for you. Okay? Let's find it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke the bread, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, he first broke the bread. And Jewish custom, basically, what we've learned is, have you ever seen anybody eat their whole meal without drinking anything? My dad would do that. I'd watch my dad eat his whole meal and never touch his glass of water or his glass of tea till he got through eating. And one of the customs, many times, that was the way they would do it. They would eat their meal with their sup and everything else. There was enough liquid there that the wine was after they'd eaten, for digestion. Okay? So he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to him. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, for years, around 7 years, actually, we did a thing here called the ride. And it was a 1-hour wagon ride through the life of Jesus. We had wagons that would hold 100 people, and we're out the ranch, and we'd take people around through the life of Jesus from his birth to his resurrection. And then we would give them an opportunity to receive Jesus. And that was one of the things we did. And one of those scenes was the Last Supper scene. And as Jesus would stand, he would walk to his disciples as they sat there, and he would break the bread. And he would hand it to them. And I believe it was Brother Peter that was doing that. And Dale, where are you, Dale? Anyway, he'd say, "Take healing." As he broke that bread, he'd say, "Take healing." And he'd bring the next one. He'd say, "Take deliverance. Take prosperity. Take." And he would just, he used a lot of different words as he would say that. And every one of them would reach out and grab you. As you saw, that's what the Lord was saying. That my body is broken. I am giving my life for you to have all this. And all you have to do is take it. You don't have to do anything else but just take it. And that's what he said to him then. He said, "My body, this is my body." So when he said, "I am the bread of life," right? "He that eats me," okay? As the bread, when you receive that, when you receive communion, he said you're doing that in remembrance of what he's already done. Not for something that needs to be done. Your healing he has prepared a table before you in the presence of that sickness, that disease, that poverty, that fear, that doubt, that inability to come out of the problems you've in. He's prepared that and set it before you right in the face of that stuff that's going on in your life, that stuff that's trying to keep you bound. He has prepared a table for you. Then he said, he took the cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. He said, now as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of what I've done. As you take that cup, that new blood that was offered for you for forgiveness of sin, to cause you to be righteous, to all the blessing in your life, the answer to all your problem is in that cup. If you would have, you could have basically said, and the bread that's sitting in the bowls and the wine that's in the cup, if you could have been there and said, but Lord, what about this thing I've had in my life that I can't get rid of? He would have said, it's in the cup. The answer's in the cup. Well, Lord, what about this disease? What about this problem in my body? He would have said, it's in the cup. The answer's in the cup. He's already done it. He broke the bread. And he said, take that. And when you take it, remember what I've done. Remember what I've done. This is not you trying to get it done. This is you remembering what he's done. Therein is faith. Not you trying to believe him for what he's already done, but you just believe in the receiving of it. That's the whole key to it. Because there's no work to be done. There's no longer what's my part. Your part's been made so easy. You want some? Take it. Well, how do we do it? He said, every time you do this in remembrance of me. Showing forth my death, what I paid for. It's all a done deal. The power to overcome, the faith to receive, is simply in that part right there. Now, I think I left out the very... I'll just say it this way. All... You know your sins are forgiven, right? He said, your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Every one of them. Past, present, future. They're all done. Remember, it's in the bowl. It's in the cup. When you take it, that's all you got to do. When the devil says, yeah, but, you say, no, yeah, but it's in the blood. That's all I got to do is receive. I don't have the power to heal myself. I don't have the power to quit worrying. I don't have the power to control my temper. I don't have the power to come out of this mess. I don't. Where is the power? It's in the bowl and it's in the cup. What he's already done. It's just simply remembering to come and dine. Come and dine. The Master calleth. Come and dine. Nothing else. Now, we are this day. Ushers, very quickly, prepare them and then step out of the way, please. I'm waiting on you before I say anything else. Go ahead and sit down. Go ahead and sit down. Go ahead and sit down, guys. We have a song that we're going to play. And as this song is played, I want you to just hear what the Lord has for you. And whatever it is in your life that you're wanting, needing, whatever. It's in the cup and it's in the bowl right here. And all you have to do is come and dine. Now, we normally organize this. But as I prayed over this, I didn't see it organized. I saw the music, the song being played, and I saw people getting up at different times and coming and receiving. You say, well, what if everybody comes at one time? Then everybody will come at one time. We don't care. When the Lord says, there's your answer right there. I've done this for you. Now go take the remembrance of it. Then just go take it. All right, and this song is going to play. You are free from this moment to come receive. Come and dine. Come receive what the Master has for you because it's all been paid for. Stop trying to do it yourself. You cannot. That's a work of the flesh. You let the Spirit. This time when you quit smoking or drinking or whatever it is that's bothering you or griping or complaining or worrying or whatever, it'll be Him doing it through you, not you trying to believe Him for it. And when He does it, nobody gets the glory but Him. Amen. Keith, go ahead. That's me this weekend.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and He bids His chosen people come and dine. With His manna He doth feed, He supplieth every need. 'Tis so sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. Thank you. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and He bids His chosen people come and dine. With His manna He doth feed, He supplieth every need. 'Tis so sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table.
Without a doubt, if you did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you came and you took that, you now know Him. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. unless you just came because everybody else was coming. That's the only way you can miss it, because all you have to do is receive. I declare to you this day, over every sickness, every disease, every problem in your life, every addiction in your life, every shortcoming, every failure, everything else that you do not like in your life. First of all, the sin has been forgiven. Next thing, the power in your life is there now to overcome, to fix everything. It's there. I declare that you receive it. There is not one other thing you have to do besides release that over to the Lord. And just every time, when the temptation hits, when you succumb to the temptation, you say, Father, I thank you. By your stripes, I'm healed, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, you've been delivered me totally and completely. Oh, no, but if I messed up and did it again, that stopped it. That didn't stop nothing. Where sin, how in the world did we miss this? Where sin does abound or did abound, grace somehow got over it just by a little bit. Grace did much more, much more, much more abound. God's willingness to use His power on your behalf is the grace of God. That's what you got today. You're whole, you're well, you're delivered, you're quick healers. Amen? In the name of Jesus, you are blessed, you are forgiven, you are redeemed, you are the apple of His eye, the object of His affection. There is nothing He loves more than you. There is no sin, no sickness, no disease, no problem, no situation in your life that can stand in the presence of the come and dine principle. Nothing. Because He didn't tell you you had to fix anything before you got there. He just said, come and dine. So, when the thing tries to hit again, when it does this, when it does that, do not attack it. Simply lift up the remembrance of what you did. Lord Jesus, I know without a doubt there is no way I can do this on my own. So I've turned it over to you. There will come a time when you will turn around and you will realize that situation's gone. And you didn't do anything about it except believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His love for you. Amen. Father, we thank You this day. We are Your children and we are blessed. We thank You for everyone this day that received, just reached out, came and dined. Thank You for preparing the table before us. Thank You, Lord, that all of our answers to every problem in our lives, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, and socially, were in the cup and the bowl as You showed the disciples that night. And we receive it in the flesh this day. And we give You the glory for it. We will never again refer to those things as our problems, because we've cast all care upon You, for You care for us. We thank You. We are well, whole, complete. Our marriages are fixed. Our lives are fixed. Our finances are fixed. We live in abundance in every area of our life because of what our Jesus has done for us. Lord Jesus, You are the author. You put that faith in us, and You're the one that develops it. And so we receive that right now, and we just get to thank You for it every day. Every day. That's all we do. We just say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, we ask You to dismiss us from this place that we've gathered together today. We thank You that as we go out with joy. We're led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break forth before us into singing, and the trees clap their hands. Where there should have come up curse, there will come up blessing. Every time in our life, because of whose we are. We love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. My wife is telling me something. Hold on. The Champions for Christ Youth Rally, the money is due by next Wednesday. That's $150 along with two forms, no later than Wednesday, June the 16th. Okay? Now, if you know that you would like to help support one of these young people going to to this youth rally, let us know. We will mark that down. We'll put that directed directly toward that, and they'll be applied for them so that those who may not be able to afford it at this moment will get to go. All right? So just remember that. Thank you. Goodbye.